Let's turn this morning to the book of Canticles, chapter number 4. That's the Song of Solomon. Canticles, chapter number 4. That's another name for the Song of Solomon. Many of the old writers called it that. Song of Solomon in chapter number 4. Don't forget my little volume on this thing, a little extra, Brother Doug, that will keep me maybe from depleting my voice before my time. Amen. I don't want to lose it before time. And Song of Solomon, then in chapter number 4, and if you'll stand with me while we'll read verses together this morning, soon be this afternoon, so I'm going to try to preach to you as quickly as I can. In verse number 1, the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, the Bible said, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like a tower of David builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which shall feed among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense until the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense." May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Our Father, I thank You, Lord, for the good singing that we've enjoyed this morning already in the Sunday school hour. I could say, Lord, it's been good to be in the house of God. I could depart this day having enjoyed the fellowship and Thy Word that was brought to our heart. Lord, for the good singing and music we've heard, I rejoice in it. I thank You for it. Thank You, Lord, for Your help. I pray now that in the next few moments that You'll give me the grace that I need, the help from God in my spirit and body likewise to preach the Word of God. May our hearts this morning be lifted up and turned to Thee and our affections set upon Christ. I pray that You'll save old sinners under the sound of my voice. Those that You come to redeem, call them by Your Spirit, save them by Your grace, cleanse them by Your blood, justify them, Lord, by Your precious Word. And we'll thank You and praise You for all You do. Encourage the people of God, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse number 6, Solomon said, "Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense." Whatever the day breaking and the shadows fleeing away may represent, I'll say something about that in a minute. The Lord said, while the shadows are here and while the day fails to dawn upon you, I'll be on the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. That's where you can find me. Now, I want to try to preach for a while this morning. I want you to imagine this thought in your mind, if you can, for a little while. I want to try to preach this morning on without Him. We sang that song, "Without Him, how lost I would be." Amen. Have you ever tried to meditate in your heart and on what it would be like to be without Christ? If you can call back your years when you were lost and undone, you have some idea of what it would be like to be without Christ. And I want to try to preach on that a while this morning, without Him. Now, the opposite of being without Him would be to be with Him, would be to have and behold His divine presence in our life. And, you know, somebody asked old Dr. B.R. Lakin years ago why he preached so much on "You Must Be Born Again." And he said, because that you must be born again. Amen. And that must have been his hobby horse that he preached a lot about, was being born again, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I think my hobby horse has been preaching on the presence of God. And somebody said, well, why, preacher? I'm going to answer that. Because, friend, without Him, ye can do nothing. And I would to God that God's people today would get a hold of the great need that we have of the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, church. Without Him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
His presence in our life and in the house of God is imperative if we're going to walk with God and have the blessings of God in our life. And, you know, the Bible said, in thy presence is joy forevermore. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In the presence of the Lord there is joy, and in His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason why people today are not excited about serving God and why your heart is not elated about the love of God, and why, my friend, there is no rejoicing in most of our hearts is because that there is an absence of God in our life. Amen to God. Oh, I would to God that He would breathe on this place this morning, and some of our younger converts would come to an understanding, my friend, of what it means to dwell in the presence of God, to have Him to abide with you. I'm talking about walking down the Emmaus Road hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Bowing with Him in the Garden of Gethsemane and being glorified with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, I'm going to say amen to God. Walking with Him along the shores of Galilee and seeing what He sees through our eyes, the multitudes that are lost and dying and going to hell because the fields are white unto harvest. Hearing what God hears, or what Jesus hears, which is the blessed voice of God Almighty, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, and all blessings belong to you. Oh, I'm telling you, I would to God people knew what it meant to have the presence of God in their life. Amen. I want to try to get you thinking this morning where we'd really be without Him in our life. I wish I could sing that song. I'd sing it without Him. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, how I would surely fail. Without Him, how lost I would be. I need to remind you this morning that we owe everything that we are or ever hope to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, sir, my friend. Everything that you and I ever hope to be, we'll be it because God loved us and Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree to redeem you and I from the curse of the law, cleanse our vile, wicked souls in the blood of the Lamb, and prepare us and make us meet for the Master's use and to prepare us for the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, Buddha didn't do it. Mohammed didn't do it. Joining the church didn't do it. No, sir. That getting baptized didn't do it. Speaking in tongues didn't do it. I'm going to tell you what done it is the love of God sending His Son into my life. Amen. Not only to redeem me, but to abide in my bosom, take up His residence in my soul, and to live there for all time and eternity. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Bless His wonderful name. I don't know about you, but He's welcome in this place. You may not want Him around, son, but I don't want to live without Him. I won't live without Him here. I don't want to try to labor without Him here. I can't preach without Him. I can't witness without Him. I can't love you without Him. I can't love my wife, love my home, love the church. I can't do nothing without Him. But oh, unto God, by Him we can do all things through Christ
Jesus which strengtheneth us. Hallelujah to God, and we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thank God I'm glad for the presence of God in my life. How a great big God could get inside of me is about more than I can comprehend. Yes! Son, He lives right there. Right in the very center of our being. God lives there. Amen. Without Him, we'd be pitiful, wouldn't we? These words that I read are yet the words of the bridegroom. If I may say, they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church. Till the day break, the shadows flee away. If you want to know where I'm at, I'm on the mountain of frankincense, and I'm on the hill. Is it the other way? No, I'm on the mountain of myrrh, and I'm on the hill of frankincense. Somebody said, "What are those shadows?" I'm gonna tell you something, friend. As long as we're living in this life, we're living under a dark, dark shadow, and all we are able to do is see through a glass darkly. But hallelujah to God, there's coming a day, son. Brother, when the shadows of this life are going to flee away, amen to God, and we're, rather than looking through a glass darkly, we're going to be able to look upon the Son of God face to face. Hallelujah to His name. What a wonderful hour, face to face. I shall behold Him face to face. What will it be? Face to face with Christ our Redeemer. Hallelujah to God, church. There's coming an hour when we're going to behold Him in all of His glory. Him that loved us and adorned Himself in the fashion of a man, humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Bless His name. What'd you be without Him? You'd be in hell or in prison. Divorced. Your kids would be out on the street sucking pot. Shooting up. Whoremonging. What'd you be without Jesus? Bless His wonderful name. He's still a talking here. And by the way, the statement that He makes is simply an answer to her prayer. She said in chapter 2 and verse number 17, she said, "Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a young hart or roe upon the mountains of Bether." I've got to have you, she said, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, when will the day break and the shadows flee away?" Son, when the trumpet sounds and the Son of God descends from His throne to lift you and I up out of this sin-cursed world that we're living in. Are you listening? And by the way, He said, "Until I'm coming after you. Until I come for you and roll the shadows away and a new day dawn in your life, you can find me on the mountain of myrrh and on the hill of frankincense." Hallelujah to God. Have you been there? I want to say that mountain of myrrh and hill of frankincense, both one in the same place. It was a location where myrrh and frankincense grew, and it was a place of a sweet, sweet fragrance where Christ said that He found much pleasure and delight. He must delight in the place and love it a lot, for He said, "I'm going to spend a whole lot of time there. In fact, that is where I'll be until the new day dawns and the shadows flee away. I'm going to be right on that mountain of myrrh, hill of frankincense. It is such a delightful place, such a wonderful place. That's where you'll find me." Hey, somebody said, "Where is He today? Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He's the same place He's always been. He's on the mountain of myrrh, my friend, and on the hill of frankincense. You want to know where the Lord Jesus is? That's where He's abiding this morning. Woo! And He said it's a delightful, fragrant place.
Nay, by the way, both of these ointments, myrrh and frankincense, they were both used in the holy anointing oil. They were either used in both and or. The holy anointing oil, they were used in the offerings of the sacrifice, and you can find them in worship. Amen. Oh, yes, you can find them there. Hey, they were first used in the tabernacle that Moses built. Then they were used in the temple that Solomon built. Somebody said, "Where are they now, preacher?" I'm glad somebody asked. Son, you can find them in the church that Jesus is a-building. Oh, yes, sir. You know where I'm going to. As long, my friend, as the sweet incense and the sacrifice of prayer and praise are made, that's where you'll find God this morning. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching on, the church. Where's He at? He's at the church. My God, let's open up our eyes. He's at the church, and by faith, my friend, we'll find Him at the house of God if we'll open our eyes of faith this morning and look for Him. That's right. That's right. Bless God, we'll find Him in the house of God. I'm telling you, we've made too little about the church these days. Well, we can just come to church if we want to and spend time there if we want to. We can treat it like a spare tire, pull it out when we feel like we need it, throw it back in the trunk when we don't need it. And all it is going down there and sitting on a pew 2 or 3 hours and listening to some little old skinny red-faced preacher get up and slobber at the mouth and carry on about God a little bit and go back home. And I mean, there ain't no big thing to it. Hey, son, He has given you a divine invitation to come into the presence of God. At the house of God. And He said it'll be a fragrant thing and a blessed thing, a place of pleasure and delight down at the church where God's people are offering up the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of prayer. Oh yeah, my house, brother Steve said it this morning, shall be called a house of prayer. And bless God, He is satisfied and pleased with prayer and praises and preaching, and that's where you'll find God. Don't y'all die on me now. I better get into my message. Huh? I want to say without Him this morning. Without Him, we'd be fruitless. You'll bear no fruit without Him, friend. Now don't leave me because I'm getting ready to show you where the fruit's at I'm talking about. And it's going to hair lip about 3/4 of you. Remember, without Him, listen to what He said in John chapter number 15 and verse 5. He said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." God desires us to bear fruit. He desires us to bear more fruit. And He desires us to bear much fruit. But without Him, church, we can do nothing. Without the working of God in our life and yielding ourselves to the power and the work of the Holy Ghost, we can do nothing. You cannot bear an ounce of fruit. Now, I'm telling you, I'm about to get sick and tired. This easy belief is a bunch of egg suckers that want to tell you that that fruit is the salvation of sinners. I'm going to tell you that's not. Hey, somebody said, "Preacher, we can bear fruit in the salvation of sinners." Who are you going to save? Tell me who you've saved, by the way. Salvation is the Lord, son. You ain't going to save nobody. Yes, sir, faith in it. Saved and done, it'll be by the hand of God. That ain't the fruit He's talking about. I'm going to tell you what it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Without such, there is no law. All right, listen to what I'm saying. God wants us to bear fruit, folks. And without Him, there won't be an out. That ought to cause us to check up this morning. How fruitful are we? Look at your branches. Does your branches drape this morning with lovely apples, pears, or peaches? check your vine? Are there any lush grapes on your vine? Do you have any grapes of Askel growing on your vines this morning? Somebody said, my vine is bare. Maybe it's because you're not grafted into the branch. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Maybe it's because you're not in the vine this morning. Now come on now, come back in the house. Well, I'm getting ready to get down where we live. I want to ask them, what about the fruit this morning of righteousness? Somebody said, preacher, is that a fruit to bear? Listen carefully. Listen carefully. At Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul said, being filled with the fruits, not singular but plural, with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, under the glory and praise of God. I'm going to tell you, son, why you cannot bear any fruit of righteousness. Come on now, children. I'm going to tell you why some of y'all can't stop sucking them cigarettes and why... Amen. Come on in the house. I'm going to tell you why some of y'all can't throw out Hollywood out of hell. Hey, I'd be ashamed to call myself a Christian, my friend, and sit at home and watch the same filth and the garbage Amen. That a liberal Democrat running for president of our country is standing up and condemning, and Baptist people are sitting at home watching the filth.
Amen.
I saw a little caption in the newspaper yesterday that had a big thing up there that said Hollywood. You know, President, I hope President Bush is talking about tapping into the oil supply in Alaska. And they was talking about that and had a caption up there, had Hollywood, and had two big pipelines about that big round. One of them said sex and the other one said violet. And the caption above it said, talk about being crude. That's the crude, friend.
Amen.
I never forget what Lester Roloff said. He said, if you're going to watch television, said you've got three sewer lines running right in your house, ABC, NBC, and CBS. But it ain't three sewer lines anymore, Robert. It's cable, bless God, and satellite dishes. It's about 75 or 100 sewer lines, HBO, and all the rest of that stinking mess. Come on, I said, what are you preaching on? I'm preaching on the fruit of righteousness, bless your heart. Somebody said, what is righteousness? It's just doing right, and you're not a doing right. A folk in your mind and your heart upon that filth and garbage coming out of Hollywood.
Amen.
Which is to the glory of God. To the praise and the glory of God. Come on now. I'm talking about doing right, friend. Let me show you something here. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to little John, 1 John. Don't leave me now. I got a lot to preach this morning. Look at little John, chapter number 3, verse number 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Verse 7, little John 3. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. John said, if you're living a righteous life, you're righteous just like Jesus is righteous. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh, my God. Come on now, tailing her down pretty close, ain't it? Hey, if you practice sin, you can't get away from it. If it can't be broken, the bonds can't be broken in your life. My friend, it may be, hey, without Him I can do nothing. I'm here to tell you, my friend, why people can't live right, live a holy, godly life and separate themselves. That's because they're lost and without God. Amen. They're without the Lord Jesus in their life. That ain't the end of it. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest. Now, folks, Verse number 9 is committing sin. He cannot commit sin because his seed remains in him. It's talking about a spiritual sin of unbelief and dying and going to hell. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When it's manifested in this, it's manifested. Verse number 10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever abideth not, whosoever doeth righteousness is... Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now I'm going to tell you in that the children of the God and the children of the devil are manifest. You mark her down, son. If sin's got such a powerful, strong hold on you that you cannot get it out of your life, break it, get away from it, I'm going to tell you the problem is because you're without him. Without him, bless your heart, we can do nothing. I'm here to tell you if you're in the back, if you're in the vine this morning, there'll be a little fruit of righteousness growing out on you somewhere. You'll learn to do right because you'll love right. When God saved my soul, Brother Mark, He taught me to love right. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, preacher, prove that. I'm glad you asked me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny godliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil world that we're living in. Ungrind grace don't give you a license to sin. Y'all listen to me now, you kids, and straighten up and listen to me. Grace don't give you a license to sin. Nobody. Without him, fruitless. No fruit of righteousness. Now look here, what is righteousness? Simply doing right. Let me run about three things by y'all think is doing right. Don't go out of this building now, children. Praise God, somebody turn the fan, turn her down back there. Get the air rolling, cool them off. Don't want nobody sleeping this morning. Amen. Listen carefully now. What about the fruit of righteousness? What about honoring your parents, young people? Come on now, look at the man of God. What about honoring your parents? Somebody said, how do you know that's right? For Exodus 20:12 said, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, it is right for a young man or a young woman to honor their mommy and daddy. You sorry bunch of little rebels and renegades, your mama went down into the jaws of death, my friend, to bring you into the world. I'm telling you, it grinds my heart when a bunch of young little rebels, my friend, get up and they mommy and daddy's face, criticize and cuss them and revile them and talk back to them. Bless your heart. They've set food on your table, young people. You better honor your mommy and daddy and love your mommy and daddy. What are you going to do if God takes one of them to the cemetery? Come on. You think it's fun to walk down that path? I'm talking about the fruit of righteousness. You have to look a long ways to tell me that it ain't right for a child to honor their mom and daddy.
Amen.
When it's one of the first commandments, my friend, in that book, one of the first 10 God gave to Israel in that book, honor your mother and your father in the Lord.
Amen.
That your days may be... What about this one? Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Amen.
For this is what? Right, R-I-G-H-T, son. It's just right for children to honor their mom and daddy. Let's God learn to open the car door for them. Amen for your mommy. Learn to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Yes, sir, and no, sir. Some of you kids right here, yeah. Makes me so mad. Bless God, I could take a belt and beat your backside. Bless God, to live with black and blue. Amen to God. Somebody said, preacher, I'm talking about your little rebel mouth. I'm preaching to the children this morning. Some of you young folks in here said you saved by the grace of God. When you going to start living right and show me, bless God, that you meant business when you left it? Calvary and said God saved you that day.
Amen.
When are you going to get on fire? When are some of you kids going to get your hand in the air every now and then? Where you young boys and girls going to be come Tuesday night, Wednesday through? If you're in school here, your hind end ought to be here all day and all night. Somebody said, I get tired. Let's God, now some of you kids' age, I could run, get up in the mornings and run 15 miles before breakfast. Work 10 hours a day and
Breath's got to study the Bible half the night and go on 2 and 3 hours sleep. Kids today want to lay their hind ends up in the bed, bless God, till 10 or 11 o'clock and expect their mother to have a bowl of cereal sitting on a cart waiting on them hand and foot. Your mommy ain't your slave, buckwheat. Amen to God. She's your mommy that loves you and ought to be busting your hind end about 3 times a day. Why in heaven's name kids want to break their mommy and daddy's hearts beyond me, buddy? Well, I want to sow my wild oats. And while you're out sowing your wild oats, your mama's are sowing her tears. Rivers of tears down her cheeks. And daddy's heart's grieved and broken. And filled up with sorrow. You young kids in here, you don't have to sow no wild oats. Man, I tell you, you can say what you want to say. I believe we got some of the best mommies and daddies you'll find in any Baptist church in the country anywhere, right here in this church. Bless your heart. And they love you. Bless your little cotton pea-picking heart. Amen! And they're praying for you. And why in heaven's name would you want to break their heart with your sinful ways? I'm going to tell you what Solomon said. He said, now when them young boys come to you and say, hey, let's throw all together in a pot. Read it. It's in chapter 1. He said, let's just all throw her in a pot. And what's mine's yours and what's yours is mine, we'll all just get together and we'll just live for ourselves. Bunch of little rebels.
Amen!
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me ask you this. I'm going to have to go, buddy. Will you? Hey, what about this righteous fruit called honesty? You know what the word honest means in the Bible? Simply good. Doing good.
Amen.
That's what it means. Just doing good. Just being good and doing good. You know what Brother Paul said? He said, let us walk honestly. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Did you know there's a trio of sin there? Buddy, there's the rioting and drunkenness. There's chambering and wantonness. There's strife and envy. The three pair of them all go together. Two in each one. And some, they are a trio of evil. Take my word for it. That rioting and drunkenness means to corral. Son, I'm so sick of this young crowd. I come by, hey, man to God, I feel meaner than hell this morning, buddy. I tell you, I've eaten gunpowder over the week. Bless your heart. I'm sick and tired of driving down to the mall and seeing that bunch of little punks shoot the finger out the wind at me and run there, boom, ba ba boom, ba ba boom, ba, all that mess. You know what they're doing? They're crowds, and my friend, that's what the Bible, that's what God said was drunkenness and rioting. Just out living a party life, a carousing life, and have no room in their heart at all for God.
Somebody
said, you mad at sin and mad at the
Amen.
Devil. Brother Mark, I'm going to bite it every chance. I'm going to bite him every chance I get. I'm going to reveal him and sin every opportunity I can and tell you exactly what it is. Now I'm here to tell you, buddy, these kids running up and down the highways today with their arms out the windows or this nature and their little panties, girls' panties tied around their windshield. I've seen it, buddy. Girls' panties hanging around the rear view mirror and girls' panties fastened onto the backs of Continental kits on the back of their vans and stuff. Amen to God. I'm absolutely sick of that mess. Got their little six packs of Bud Light and all that mess. Amen. They think they're tough dogs and top dogs. I'm going to tell you what happened to some of them one of these days. Some topper dog and bigger dog will leave their nose, bless God, flat on their face. And they'll come home and mommy is talking like this. And they're not me as wise as what they thought they were.
Drunkenness
and rioting. It means to carouse. Chambering and wantonness means to lie in bed with. Chambering. You know what a chamber is? It's a bedroom. It's a room. Who are you laying in bed with this morning? I know some of y'all don't like this. I'm here to tell you, run with the dogs, buddy. You're going to catch the fleas. Now, by the way, I've seen some of you scratching pretty hard.
Go ahead.
Some of you parents will let your children go where the people are living like a devil ain't a living for God a bit more than a man in the moon. I don't care if it's grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, uncle, or who else, son. I am not letting my kids run with somebody that are worldly as a devil and live like hell. I'll keep them at home. Somebody said, oh, you'll deprive them. Deprive them of what? Sin, Satan, world, hell. Is that what I'm going to deprive? I hope that's what I deprive them of. Hallelujah. Feeling good. What about strife and envy? You know what that is? That means lawless. Without any law. No restraints at all. Let us break their bands asunder. That's what they said in Psalm 2. Let us break their bands asunder. We'll not have this man to rule over us. That's what they said in Jesus' day. We'll not have that man to rule over us. Oh, he's a heavy taskmaster. Boy, you dumber than a box of rocks. I'm going to tell you what sin will do. It'll put a hook in your nose and just lead you according to the course of this world and drag you around. You just a little baby. You just a little wimp. You just letting the devil in the world just lead you around. Why don't you stand up and be a man? I'm going to tell you something, son. If the Son will make you free, you're free indeed. Hallelujah to God. I got liberated from all that mess, Brother Jerry. Amen. Amen. I don't need to pop a top again. Amen. I remember that bunch of junk. Amen. Pop a top again. Oh, give me a break. Well, I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Time keeps dragging on. I don't want to listen to that mess, son. Somebody said they're oldies, but goodies. They're oldies, and they're out of the same hell the new age is out of. Amen. And I don't have to watch the ball game. Somebody said they fired Bobby Knight. They ought to fired the cussing egg sucker a long time ago, buddy. Up there cussing in the ears of them kids and teaching them vulgarity. Oh, amen. I'd have fired him a long time ago.
Amen.
Lawless, buddy. Nobody wants any law today. Nothing to rule. Nothing to control. Pull off the... What would our country be like, friend, if we just folded our hands, brought in all the police forces, all the U.S. Marshals, all the military, and just stopped doing anything? I'm going to tell you, buddy, there'd be hell in America, buddy, in the street. There'd be bloodshed knee-deep, buddy, in America. That's right. You better thank God for the law. That law will keep you in check, buddy. Amen! A little rule and a little authority. They never hurt nobody. Hallelujah. I'm having a time. Woo! What about the righteousness of hospitality? Well, I said, preacher, you ain't never preached on these. I know it. That's why I'm preaching. The Holy Ghost told me to hit her a lick. 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality.
Amen.
One toward another.
Amen.
Without grudging. Do I know anything about what he said? Do good for one another. And don't grudge somebody of doing it. In other words, be a cheerful giver. Give and it shall be given unto you. Amen. Don't give grudgingly or out of necessity, but because you're a cheerful giver. Son, I'm telling you, if you grudge these men that we give money to a few weeks ago of what the church done for them, you are wickeder than the devil himself, my friend. I'm going to say something else, Brother Harlip. Some of you, we're down here working all day yesterday while some of you is laying at home, and we went out and bought chicken with church money. Bless God, I got hungry. Well, you ought to give that to missions. Praise God, right here is the best missionary you ever looked at. Yeah. And yesterday I made sure that right there is the graveyard of 501 dead chickens. Are you listening to me? You know what the word hospitality means according to Strong's? Fond of guests. We ought to be hospitable to these people that are coming here next week. Treat them with respect and their children with respect.
the preachers and their wives with respect. I want to say, secondly, not only without him we'll be fruitless, but without his presence, we're going to fail. Now I'm telling you, you cannot have victory without him. Have you read the story when Israel come to Kadesh Barnea, and God said, I want you to go over into Canaan and occupy the land. They sent out the spies. 10-2 come back and said, we can take it. 10 said, we can't make it. And that bunch of devils, my friend, fell in with those 10 spies and said, they're right, they just over there, and we can't take the land. I'm simply saying, you will fail in your conquest, in your Christian life, my friend. It takes the presence of the Lord Jesus. You want to know why I harp on it? We got to have Him around here. Your homes and your children, your life, my friend, stand in jeopardy of being dragged down into failure and defeat without the presence of God. They said, we can't do it, and I'm going to show you what happened. They said, we're not going up. Moses pronounced judgment on them. God pronounced judgment, and Moses gave it to them. And in verse 42 of chapter 14, the book of Numbers, Moses said, go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. And I'm going to tell you what they done, son. They presumed upon God and went over anyway without Him. And I'm going to tell you what the Amalekites and the rest of that crowd done. They kicked the backside of Israel. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, you will fail in your conquest of a spiritual life. I'm talking about growing in grace and maturing in God. Brother Steve, you said this morning in Sunday school that your prayer and your desire for this meeting was that God would grow you in grace. I'm going to tell you what God will do for you. It'll seem like you ain't going nowhere with God, and all at once, in a special service of some kind, God will give you a nudge in the heart. And friend, you will look back and realize it'll seem like in one giant step, son, you matured 20 years in God. Amen. It's a fruit that is not recognizable by the eyes of them that are producing it. No, sir. But it's seen in the eyes of other people around you. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, without it, you're going to fail just like they failed without the presence of God. You're going to fail in your conquest of this Christian life. Amen. Now buckle your seatbelt. We ain't done yet, children. What are we trying to conquer, Brother Hall? You're going to fail in the conquest of your heart. You know your heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I'm here to tell you, friend, if it ain't conquered, it's as wicked as the devil himself. It'll do anything. It'll sin. It'll cuss. It'll do... That's right. I said it. Bless your heart. I'm telling you, if you don't bring it in check, if you don't bring your body in check and conquer your own heart, you are your biggest enemy. You are the only person that can prevent you from having all of God in your life you want and having the same... You, as sitting on the pew, you can have the same blessing and the same victory and the same power of God in your life to conquer your enemies. That's what the man of God behind the pulpit can have. Are you listening to me? Somebody said, preacher, what about that? Well, he said in Psalm 139:23, he said, search me, O God. You want him to search you this morning? I had a man that called me on the phone the other night and said, under God, I'm reading that little preparation for a revival. And said, preacher, I don't believe I can take much of it. He said, I've been looking at my heart and said, man, what I see I don't like. I've got news for you. What Isaiah saw, he didn't like. What I saw a long time ago, I didn't like. What Peter saw himself when he saw Jesus on the land, he didn't like. Get a good look at yourself, friend, and you won't like it. That's good. Somebody said, oh, that's bad. No, that's good. Because when you see what you are that you don't like, it'll cause you to flee to Him that can make you like Him and you both.
Amen.
Woo! Are y'all tired? You want me to say prayer and go home? I'm talking about conquering your heart. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I'm going to tell you another place you'll fail. Buckle her down. You're going to fail in your home. Without His presence, your home will be a battleground and a hellhole without Him. But son, He can speak sweet peace to your household. Are you listening? Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Hey, I'm talking about young converts basically right now. Establishing a Christian home. When I say young converts, I'm not talking about 2 weeks. I call young converts people who have been saved 10 years. You're a young convert. You ain't been in no longer than 10 years. I'm just being honest. You're still wet behind the ears. You're green as a green briar in the summertime, son. You're wet behind the ears. I'm going to tell you what some of you need to do is establish a Christian home. You can start out by establishing a prayer time. Read your Bible and pray and establish an altar where you, somebody said, oh, preacher, I don't have to have an altar. Don't give me that myth. Establish you an altar. Establish a right relationship between you and your wife. Get a right relationship between you and your children. And you cannot do it without His presence there. You'll struggle in your own flesh. You'll flounder and you'll fail. And you'll wonder what on God's name's going wrong. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. No God.
Amen.
No God, buddy. A home. Women are to be keepers of home.
Amen.
And by the way, that word keepers means, that's in Titus 2:5, by the way. That word keeper means to be domestically inclined. Not a career. Brother Ricky said there's a woman come look at his house the other day and said she's a sodomite. And she knocked on the door and looked like a man. Said she come walking in like this. If it had been me, I'd have said, I'm sorry, sir. I thought a lady called about this house. Y'all catch that after a while.
Amen. Amen.
Women ought to be domestically inclined, friend. And I'm not talking about that giving men a license to dump your wife off the house 20 hours a day while you get out and jackleg and play your little games with your little buddies.
Amen.
I'm talking about having your backside there with them to raise up them children and correct them children, men.
Amen.
Women ought to be keepers at home. I get this. And the men ought to be kind in the home. What's wrong with being kind to your wife?
Amen.
What's wrong with being loving and kind and sweet and patient? And treat her, my friend, as a weaker vessel, like Brother Peter said.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to get the home. Hey, what's wrong with the men? And by the way, the men ought to have a little knowledge, Brother Doug, because Brother Paul said in Ephesians 14, he said, I'm not Ephesians 14, 1 Corinthians 14, talking about the woman and speaking in tongues, said, but let the women keep silence in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But if they would learn anything, let them ask their husband. I'm going to tell you what the problem is there. Most of the husbands in here have to ask the wives. I've got a feeling most of the wives are more spiritual than most of the men. I'm just being honest with you. Hallelujah to God. Son, it is time, gentlemen, that some of us grew up.
Amen.
Women are to be keepers at home. Men are to be kind at home. And the children are to be cared for in the home. They not to be let go and neglected and run wild. I'm going to tell you something, men. I'm not joking one bit. I believe it was Tuesday night. We let out a service here, and before we left, I had swept and mopped that back room back there and cleaned it up and walked back there after church, and there were 75,000 black marks from your kids' feet all over the floor back there. And it's because they don't know how to walk. All they got to know how to do is run like a bunch of antelopes in the house of God. And when they run, they drag their feet and kick the walls. And that's right, and drag the floor. And Brother Bell worked 2 days back there to make that room look decent. I make a suggestion that we try our best to keep it looking decent. And tell your kids this is not a racetrack. This is a house of God. One lady in the church found one little boy in the church just the other night out there pulling a sign up out of the blacktop, pulling it plumb up out of the blacktop. They're supposed to be there. That's God's sign. Keep your paws off that sign out there.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be ugly. But I'm going to tell you, friend, what goes on here is a reflection of what's going on down some of y'all's house. I'm going to tell you something else. I might as well hit this a lick. Some of the older girls have been arguing like cats and dogs outside at school time. And son, I want to stop. One of them was heard to say the other day, he ain't my boss. Bless your heart, I'm your boss out there. And we're going to live out there, yes sir, and conduct ourselves like we're children of the Lord and do right and love one another, or the hide will be slipped.
Somebody said, my daddy won't let you. Me and your daddy will go in that office and talk, buddy. And if daddy don't want to get in line with the same thing, let daddy keep you at the house. We ain't having a bunch of junk fighting and arguing. Kids out there are fighting and are beating and thumping around on each other. This is not a battleground. It is a church and a Christian school. I'm talking about, son, being right in the hole. When kids, I'm going to tell you something. You're in bad shape if you can't get along with somebody. And I'm going to tell you, they've learned it well because most adults can't get along with people. Oh, we're having fun now. But I'm right where God wants me this morning, son. Huh? What about conquering happiness? What about conquering the sorrow in your life and being happy? Somebody said, preacher, can that be? Listen to me. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that, number one, feareth the Lord. Number two, that walketh in His ways. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee.
Amen.
You want to be happy? Fear the Lord and walk in the Lord's path. You can be happy.
Amen.
I've done made some of you fighting, man. You'll probably take your birthday present back. Don't do it. Whatever it is, I need it. I don't know what it is, but I need it. Don't take it back. I love you.
Amen.
Look here. Honestly, folks, what would it be? What would it be when we dismiss if me and Brother Mark and Jerome and Benny and Brother Steve back there, all of us jumped up around in here and started running around and catapulting up on the walls and trying to walk sideways down the wall, and all at once one of us bumped into the other, and one or two of them just clotheslined the other, and five or six of us adult men here wrestling around on the floor. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, men oughtn't to do that. I'm telling you, children oughtn't to do that.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, a child that will stand up and tell an adult, you ain't my boss. I don't have to listen to you. Now, I'm going to tell you what, there's three people teaching in that school back there, my wife, Brother Bell, and Sister Woodard. And when they're back there, they are your boss.
Amen.
I'm going to say, thirdly, without His presence, we're fruitless. Without His presence, we'll fail. But I'm going to tell you something else. Get it now. Without His presence, we'll fall.
Amen.
You ain't going to make it without Him. Somebody said, preacher, do you have any scripture? What about old Solomon? What about old Samson? Son, Samson thought he had the world with a tail. God all over him. Power God all over him. Killed a lion. Slew 1,000 Philistines. Caught foxes by the tail, tied their tails together and made firebrand and sent them through the Philistines, went up on a rock and defied the whole army of the Philistines. Oh, man, I'll tell you, he had things going his way. But I'm going to tell you something. He had something in his heart he couldn't get away from. It's called women.
Amen.
My son-in-law asked me a question about finances of the church over there where he's taken. Just asked me that Friday, and I said, son, I'm going to tell you something. Two things in the church will destroy you, and that's females and finances. And I said, I wouldn't touch it. I'm going to tell you what I do. I oversee the finances of this church. I don't ever touch the money except somebody give me money like Brother Robert. On marathons, I keep the money because I've seen we left $700 or $800 landing there at 10 box one time for 3 months. That's why I keep the money. And I give it to Ruth or somebody out here when the marathon is over. But I'm going to tell you what, buddy. I don't put my hands... When money is spent back there, I tell them what to spend and what to pay and how to pay it. But I don't make the deposits. I don't see the money. I don't touch money. And by the way, to try to protect us even more on money, I saw a cash register the other day for $199. I'm about ready to buy a cash register and come up with a way that we can keep petty cash. And that money better be in that cash register. I'm telling you, folks, the devil can get into things like finances and females and destroy a man in church.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? We don't need that in the house of God, no sir. And females destroyed Samson. And here, hey, and Samson fell. Now look here. Look here. Where did he fall? He fell into captivity. Go, God. Look here. Without His presence, you will fall in captivity.
Amen.
To sin. S-I-N. The flesh, the Philistines.
our type of the flesh and was his enemy, buddy. And he couldn't overcome the flesh because he kept toying with sin and he fell into captivity to the very thing that he couldn't conquer. Now, I'm here to tell you, you better listen to me, Pastor. I'm telling you wisely that those things in your life that you do not conquer, they'll turn on you like the Amalekite turned on Saul and get you.
Amen.
Samuel told Saul, said, God said, go to the Amalekites and destroy all men, women, sucklings, all the sheep, slaughter, and don't leave a living thing. But he kept Agag and the best of the sheep and everything. He didn't kill all the Amalekites. And you know what it was? You know who it was that fell on Saul on Mount Gilboa when he died? An Amalekite. He'll get you.
Amen.
The Philistines got Samson. You will fall without his presence. I'm just telling you now, you got as a child of God, you got to have it.
Amen.
And somebody said, oh, we children of God, we are going to heaven. Yeah. And some of you might go in a plastic bag before time. If you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
You think Samson didn't die a little prematurely?
Amen.
I think he died a little prematurely. Somebody said, well, did God leave him? She said, that is Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And he lost his eyes. They bound him and led him down into that prison house. And he began to push on that wheel. In captive. Why? Why did he fall? Didn't have Jesus on his side.
Amen.
I want to show you something. His hair grew. What shame. Can you imagine what shame? Hey, son, I couldn't show my face in Madisonville. I had a man tell me yesterday that counted associating with the public. Now, I'm not saying this to be harsh, but he said that everybody he's come in contact with, Brother Robert, and tried to talk to him about God, here's what they tell him. Said, that bunch that was down there at the old Madisonville temple took me for money. Said, they're crooked. Said, I wouldn't trust God. I wouldn't trust church people any further than I could throw a bull to the tail. Some of the others told him, that crowd that's down there in that church building now, they've molested children. They said they won't pay their bills. Said they're crooked. And look here. And people have lost their respect for men of God. I'm going to tell you something, son. And isn't it something that all of the shame and ungodliness in this city has stemmed right out of the building where this ministry originated and was organized in? Son, I'm telling you what. If you're looking at a man that if I fell in sin with some woman and whoremonged or sodomized some little kid or little girl or just because I was too chintzy to pay my bills, wouldn't pay my bills and let bills go and neglect my bills, I couldn't show my face, buddy, to people.
Amen.
It'd shame me.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, some men can do it without shame and any remorse at all.
Amen.
And it has destroyed the witness for God's people in this city. You can like that lump. And I don't mind to tell you, I'm not being ugly, but it's Bob Lamb, John Stalls, and John Price, and that crowd over there has destroyed the testimony of God's people in this city.
Amen.
And I'm not slandering. It's a fact.
Amen.
Some of you want to go in there and look at the bonds issues that I've got in my drawer where they was beat out of thousands of dollars? I've got it. God help us. You'll fall, folks, without Him. Old W.W. Burns said a long time ago, before God dies, God will let a man see what he really is.
Amen.
Look here now. Hey, the shame that it brought him. He lost his sight, was bound in fetters. But look here. When his hair grew, Brother Mark, and he went out, they brought him up to make sport. And asked that little old boy, said, put me between them two pillars. And he bowed himself and with all of his might and he brought the whole house down. Killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. But Brother Doug, hey, come over here a minute, Andrew. I wish this stuff wasn't here for right now. I get it, boy. put your... Can you lay up right there kicking that off? Huh? I fall here. I don't move. Now, there's old Samson, folks. And he brought the house down. But it brought Samson down with the house.
Amen.
Here's the point I want to make. It said in his brethren from his father's house went up and took the body of Samson.
Amen.
Can you see, Daddy? I'm talking about the pain of a father and a mother because they lost a boy that would not listen to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you think it was? Do you think it was pleasant when Mommy and Daddy Samson and his brothers picked up that body that once was robust and strong, slew a lion, took a jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 Philistines with it, broke bands that they tried to capture him with, took bars of the city and carried it out, and now here he is, a huff of a man, crushed by his own sin, led into captivity and crushed by his own sin.
Amen.
And there's a mommy and a daddy that's got to bury that boy. Think about it, kids. Man called me last Saturday night. Said, Brother Hall, pray for me and my son. Said my 15-year-old grandson and 3 other boys, 4 of them, was killed just a couple of hours ago in an automobile accident in Bronson, Missouri. 4 of them. Boy was 15 years old. What was he doing out at midnight, folks? You know what that man... My wife said, what did that man talk to you about all that time on the phone? I said, he didn't talk about nothing. He wept. And when he got ready to hang the phone up, all he said was, Brother Hall, thank you for listening to me weep. God bless you. Pray for us. I said, I will, sir. Are you listening?
Amen.
Samson fell. And he fell because he failed to have the presence of God. And y'all think I harp on that all the time, but I'm telling you, without it, no fruit. Without it, we'll fail. And without it, we will eventually fall. Let's stand together. We're going to have a hymn of invitation.